In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Welcome once again to the broadcast. My name is Sarah Utterbach.
And I'm Clinton Utterbach.
Our message for this week is called The Good Fight. And you need to know that, as far as I'm concerned, the only fight that's a good fight is the one that you win. And in this particular case, we're finding out it's a spiritual fight, and therefore standing on God's word, trusting Him, and going with what He has already said in His word, that's available to us to withstand the enemy, to really kind of ignore him as though he doesn't exist, because we're focusing on Jesus. So we believe that you're being blessed by these broadcasts, and we want to hear from you. Please let us know if they're affecting your life in a positive way.
Jesus said, let's back up one step. When the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom was coming, remember he told them that the kingdom was not physical, but the kingdom would be in the hearts of man?
Yes.
So that means kingdom, meaning sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
The sphere of God's influence would be in the heart of man. And Jesus has given a simple parable or statement. He said the kingdom is as if a woman hid 3 measures of yeast in the dough. Now we know you cannot hide yeast in the dough. It's going to affect the dough. That's exactly what he meant for it to do. The spirit that's inside of us, when it's out among the people, the dough, is meant to affect the dough, not the dough affect the kingdom.
Yes. Yeah.
And because...
Yeah, dough doesn't affect yeast. Yeast affects
that's
dough.
Right. And because the world starts closer to us than we think, the world starts with our flesh. And so we have to conquer that. The fight is, we have to take authority over our own selves before we can ever get out in the world and expect to have enough discipline to affect them. Because they'll put it on you. Guys are working on jobs and you claim you're a Christian. They'll come up there with Playboy magazine with some half-naked woman in there, put it up in your face, or put it close enough to where you'll see it. But do you understand what the kingdom was intended to be? It was intended to be a spiritual entity. The kingdom was not even intended to be the church, these buildings.
No.
The kingdom was intended to be us, in us, so that wherever we go, I can't take this church. I can't even take it down the street. But we can take us anywhere in this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead
mm-hmm.
is supposed to be in us to bring resurrection,
yes, sir.
Restoration,
yes.
Reconciliation to the world. Hazel.
Just stay in the 7th chapter of Romans.
Okay.
You were asking about the scripture, I think it was yesterday or earlier, honey. Starting at the 7th verse, 7th chapter. Struggling with sin. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. For what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. In my what? In my flesh. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature, but I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. If you and I will begin to understand that it is sin living in us that is sinning, it is not you and me. People question their salvation.
They do.
Because they don't understand that it is a sin living in you that is doing this thing. But you have the will to stop it.
That's it. That's the question.
Yeah.
You have the will.
Behave yourself.
Up in your clearinghouse, it's the command post. It's headquarters.
Yes.
And all of the information comes from the field to the headquarters. You're the general. You decide what's going to happen.
Yes.
Your urges don't decide what you do. You decide. Okay? And so because you have that authority and that power, it's the reason why you can't just sin and say, oh, it was my flesh.
My flesh.
You are responsible for what every one of us is responsible for what our flesh does. I don't understand either why God left this sin in our flesh except to prove that the devil is a liar and a failure.
If we exercise that which is in us.
If we exercise that which is in us. And I personally think the weakness of the Christian church all over the world is that ministers of the gospel will not tell the people the difference between their spirit, and soul, and body.
And that's where that false doctrine comes in. That's where that false teaching comes in. Go back over there to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. If anyone teaches false doctrine as does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, what we just talked about over there in the 8th chapter of Romans and the 7th chapter of Romans is godly teaching. He is conceited. Listen, these are all the things that a false teacher, he's conceited. He understands nothing. He enjoys controversy and quarrels all the time. He is envious. He's involved in strife, evil, suspicious. He's in constant friction. He is, where's the other one there? Between the corrupt mind, between people. He would rather not share the truth. He thinks that finances is gain from and considered godliness. These are all a false teaching. And unfortunately, there is so much of it going around today, but there is no excuse for us just because people are teaching it, because within us is the ability to discern those lies. We just like the comfort of them. We like the convenience of it. We like certain things. And so therefore we won't bother to search out that which is truth. But on the inside of us, every time a false statement comes up, I don't care whose mouth it comes out of us, something on the inside of me goes ding-a-ling-a-ling. You know, and I know it. And I know that I have, somebody asked the question about why last night, why did I have to address a comment that was made in the meeting last week, and I said, because aside from Erica And Debbie, I was the only other pastor there, and since this was this congregation, and I'm responsible for everybody that comes in here, when something is said, and that was not said, and you'll never convince me that what the comment that was made was intended to lead anybody wrong. The person just had not studied through what they shared before they preached it. They didn't run it past somebody else. Do you know there's some things that you want to preach, like Brother Hagin says, how many years, how long did he say he sat on something?
It was a long time. Brother Hagin got a revelation from the Lord on a certain scripture.
Almost 2 years.
And yes, it was at least that long before he would share it. And in the interim, he ran it by several ministers considered godly to see what they thought about it.
We can't run with every revelation we think we have. We need to run it aside from the Spirit. We need to run it past some other godly men and women who will work with us. Let's pray about it. Let's look at some other translations. And you look at it long enough, God's going to reveal to you what it's all about. But false teaching is no excuse for us to be in ignorance. Would you go with me to Galatians, the first chapter? I'm just going to cover one verse over there. Galatians, the first chapter, and I believe I want verse 9. Yes. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. I don't think false teachers really understand just how much trouble they are in with God. It says, let him be eternally condemned. The word eternally condemned there means anathema, meaning that one lies under God's curse. Now, I want to get right there and address that, because the question came up maybe last night about Malachi being, thought we were delivered from the curse of the law. You need to understand the difference between the curse of the law and God's curse.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.